I got you. 5 minutes.
All right.
I don't have a cowbell. I'll just yell.
Ah! All right. I'm gonna keep an eye on my kids. They're over there by themselves. My wife's in nursery again. Hebrews 12:3. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired. And man, I spent my afternoon busting up plaster. And plaster is a blessing. Take a few showers to wash it all out of my nose and ears and everywhere else. Amen. Oh my man, trying to calm my nerves. I was sitting there and I saw Brother Joe look over me, and you get that feeling when the preacher looks at you and you're like, yep. Okay. All right. Hebrews 12:3. Actually, let's back up to verse 1. Let's back up to verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And I'm going to play real quick. Father God, I thank you for this night. God, I pray that you just give me wisdom. Help me say the right things. God, I pray we just loosen this, get a little looser in here. God, I pray people would realize we're just going to have some fun tonight, God. We're not here to try and hurt anybody. We're just going to have some fun tonight, God. And I pray that people would not resist, God, and they just make it easy for you, the preachers, to follow me, God. I can feel how tight it is in here, God, and I just need your presence and your spirit.
Amen.
I pray that you just loosen it up. I thank you and love you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Like I said, we're just going to have some fun tonight, guys. These guys are going to pick verses, and all of them are going to be about Jesus Christ. And for the most part, people are just going to glorify his name.
Amen.
And now here it talks about, for consider him. Now, I don't have to tell you who him is.
Yeah,
I mean, you're here on a Sunday night. I mean, you know who him is.
Amen.
I mean, you know who Jesus Christ is. You know why you're here tonight. You're here because of him. I hope you're not here to hear some preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you weren't here to hear some singing. I'm listening to Esther sing, and that was such a blessing.
Amen.
I mean, I worked with Brother George back when he had the little Esther and Mike. Now, she's going to get mad at me for telling stories on her, but she was just a little kid. And I used to come over there all the time and hang out with George just because I wanted to be around the church.
Amen.
I just gotten back, and George was a good mentor to me. Taught me a lot of things, and I got there, and we get to hang out, and I'd beat up Michael, and I'd play with Esther. I'd do a thing called the claw. And she was just a little girl, you know, and I'd say, I got the claw, and I hook her arm, and she's like, ah. She came up to me, I think it was a couple years ago, and she came over, and she did that thing and reminded me of that. But I listened to her sing, and I thought, man, what a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Man, what a blessing.
Yep.
And then I thought about, you know, I remember the last time Jesse's leaving. And I remember the last time Jesse left. And we saw a lot of people leave the church when Jesse left. And I don't know if you guys noticed that or not. And you know what happened? A lot of people were here just for the show that Jesse did.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Jesse did something wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying Jesse had a lot of joy about him. He tried to be entertaining. And some people were just here for the show. But that's not why we're here. We're here to consider him.
Amen.
Consider him and what he's done. He said that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why is it a contradiction? Because he knew no sin.
Amen.
He didn't deserve to die the death of a sinner on the cross. He didn't deserve to die and pay the price that we did. He didn't deserve to die and go to hell and pay for our sins and be a sacrifice. He didn't deserve the beating and the persecution, the ridicule and the mocking. He didn't deserve to have his beard plucked out. He didn't deserve the crown of thorns on his head. He didn't deserve the 39 lashes on his back. He didn't deserve to have a bag put over his head and have people smite him and say, prophesy, prophesy, who smiteth thou? He didn't deserve those things. What a contradiction. What a contradiction for a man that knew no sin to suffer worse than sinners. To suffer worse than sinners. And here we are, we find that he does that for us. And some of you still resist. Some of you aren't even really interested in the story.
Yeah. Amen.
It's been on my heart lately, and I've been working on a message, basically just telling the story of the gospel. And just kind of get up here and start from the beginning of Genesis and go through the whole thing and work all the way up to the death of the cross. And the reason that's been on my heart is because it just doesn't get preached anymore. All we hear anymore is about what you're doing wrong.
Yep.
And we got to tell you what you're doing wrong. I believe a preacher's duty is to rebuke, of course. But where is the preachers that get up and exalt the name of Christ anymore? How come I don't hear much about the rapture anymore? How come I don't hear much about the home that's awaiting us in glory and what he's going to do and what he did for us and all that? I heard a preacher a long time ago. He said, you know how you can easily tell the difference between an old Christian song and a new one? He said, an old Christian song talks about what Jesus Christ did and what you can do for him. And a modern song talks about what you can get from Jesus Christ. And the newer songs is all about bless me and give me this and do all this for me. Hey, that's nice. It's emotional. It makes you cry. It makes you feel a little good. But them old songs about I surrender all. About going off on the mission fields. About send me, O Lord, send me. Talking about what I can do for Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what he did for me.
Amen.
Because of the contradiction of what he did for me. And to consider that. To consider how much we owe. To consider how much we should give. To consider how much we could never do enough. I mean, what could we ever do that would equal the opportunity and what Christ did for us? Can any of you name a thing that we could do to equal what Christ did for us? Well, I can. Christ said it. And a lot of people confuse it. They say, well, I'll give my life to Christ. Well, I got news for you. Christ isn't interested in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Christ said, present present your bodies a living sacrifice. Christ isn't so interested in what you think you can do for him, but what he thinks he can do with you.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's something to consider. That's something to consider.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see here. Oh, how about there? I know I want to pick, man. I don't know if he'll do it or not, so I better not do that. So we'll have Brother Cody come on ahead.
Amen.
Now, I sure want to hear a lot of you guys. I have a lot of people I'd like to go ahead and get to preach. I just don't know if you'll do it or not. So I don't know. Maybe I'll do it, and then you would have to look like a fool if you did diet. Sorry. All right, brother. Pick you out a verse and go 5 minutes. I hate being like that, but I sure want to hear some of you guys.
I almost said it, verse 10, but I believe you.
Right. Well, before I even go anywhere, I just want to say it's an honor to be considered family in this church.
Amen.
Their prayers alone have done so much for our family. I could sit here all night and make you all go to sleep just by hearing my voice. But I can't thank you enough for being there for all of us, for being there, not just for me, Joan, and little man over there, but being there for our families who we're still working with some of the family members and still going through those battles. So
Amen.
I just want to thank you for everything you guys have ever done for us.
Amen.
Oh, Jesse, who would have thought that I would have been up here doing this, huh?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Tell you what.
Yeah, amen.
I'll tell you, Jesse, how long was that? How long did you work on us?
10 years.
Wow, amen.
How dumb was I for 10 years?
Amen.
Jeez. If I knew how. Well, Ken, you got to remember that I met you not much after your wife finished changing my diapers. So if I knew stupidity, buddy. All right. we're headed to Romans, guys. Going to Romans 12, 1-3. How about it? Give you guys a minute. I'm going to go ahead and pray because I'm nervous up here, first time up here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be up here, Lord. I'm humbled to be standing here in front of everybody and to have your word sitting in front of me, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you calm my nerves and that you give me the words. You know, let me just take this time to honor you, Lord. So just give me the words, and I thank you for everything you're going to do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wow, huh? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable, and the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen.
Sorry for my hesitation there. When you hear your own baby cry, you stop for a second. Pretty obvious verse here, guys. If anybody's read, they know this stuff. Not to mention, we did just mention it. We were just talking about the past 10 years and how dumb I was to not listen to my sister.
Right.
I know she's been waiting for me to say that one, too. Yeah, well, you know, I'll even go forth, and not to go into too much detail, but I was a spoiled, rotten brat. Just ask her. I was given a lot of liberty. I was the youngest of three. I was the only boy, and I was mama's baby. I could do no wrong. At 12 and 13, I was doing things that I don't think Jesse could have done at 17 or 18. Just getting away with it, because I could. It wasn't until 2006. I always give a little bit of respect to Brother Mark McGahee. He stands up here, and everybody feels like he's pointing at you. But in 2006, he pointed at me. And he pointed hard at me. He growled and snarled, and I'm pretty sure he spit at me and stuff. But that's what it felt like, anyway. And it was right here, August 2006, that I wanted to present my body a living sacrifice. Even then, I still didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know the battle that was still to come. I had no idea where I was going to go with my life. All I knew was that that was where I needed to be at that time. You know, I went out, and let's just say that I backslid quite a bit. Almost forgot that I was even here. It's amazing how the Lord puts people in your life when it comes time for that. Because in a time where my wife and I had just gotten together, just decided that we were going to get married, she was Catholic, raised Catholic, and she just, about the same time that we decided that we need to make a change in our life, realized that that church wasn't giving her anything anymore. And I want to say it was the 2009 year where, again, August Revival, it hit us both pretty hard. We had already presented our bodies. We had both already been saved. But the concept of being transformed didn't hit us. It took some battles. And honestly, if it wasn't for seeing some of the people in this church and how they had transformed in front of us over the time that we were here, let alone knowing them from my past, whether it be my sister, whether it be Ken and Tiffany, whether it even be just coming in here and starting to become this family and getting to know George back here, getting to know the pastor, getting to know Brother Squiggy, you know, knowing that there were people that I could call, but even so, watching these people that I could call, I'm still watching them transform. What am I doing? I was slipping up. Here, he's given a charge. He's telling us straight up. He wants to live in sacrifice, but you need to transform.
Amen.
If you don't transform, what is all this? What are we doing? What's the point? You know, we can be saved, and we're going to heaven. That's fantastic. He wants us to be transformed, not just for our sake and not just to honor him, but our testimony's got to ring true to everybody around us, too.
Amen.
Got to be transformed.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise
Amen.
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 That's good. Now, I said that I like to hear some people here. You know, everybody's already getting nervous. They're like, are they going to pick me or not? So we'll go ahead and pick Eric Riley. Y'all get ready. I hope I don't offend anybody because I got some pickers going on. Got some pickings going on. Y'all don't get mad at me.
Ain't that tall, brother.
Amen.
What is this? I'm about to proofread this first. Hold on. Said 5 minutes, right? So you get 1 minute to proofread.
I'll wait until you say go. Just say it quick. Yeah, right. John 3:16.
Oh, yeah, okay. Jeremiah 17. Start at chapter, verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see the, when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse number 9 is our text. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Father God, Lord, I pray you help me right now, Lord, and give me the words to speak, Lord, not what I want to say, but what you want me to say, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to get up here, Lord, even if it's only for a few minutes. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. And in my own life, I know that there's some times where I think that I've got things under control and I got things handled, and then something comes up that just trips you up, and a snare comes along. You think, well, man, I got this under control, but you don't even know your own heart. People put things out there, and they do things that they think, well, I can handle this. And I give you a prime example. When I started coming to this church, I had a Facebook. And I'm not preaching against Facebook, now I'm just giving you an example. And I said, I can't have this no more. I'm done with it. So a little while later, a few days ago, I said, well, I get me a Facebook. I'll go ahead and put me some scripture on there. I can preach to some people. And as soon as I put this thing on, my own heart deceived me. I thought I could do it. As soon as I get on this thing, there's a bunch of filth and a bunch of junk on there, a bunch of things that you shouldn't see, and your heart is desperately wicked. You think, well, I can just go on about my business and not look at that part. It's not going to happen. Brother just said, be transformed. There's some things that you're going to have to put away. Some things you're going to have to cry out to God and ask him to change you. And it's thinking about the heart being desperately wicked. The other day in my Bible reading, I read about Saul, how God said he gave him a new heart. He gave him a heart, but see, sometimes when you get saved, you got to have a new heart. Things got to change, but with a different heart, something's got to change. There's got to be something going on. And the Bible says, behold, a new creature. You haven't changed your Adamic nature. Not that the things that if you liked football or iced teas changed, but some things in your life change as far as where you're going and what direction you're headed, the things that you place value on. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. If you're thinking on heaven and thinking about going to heaven, the things in heaven, where your heart is, your treasure's at. Or your treasure's at, there's your heart. So I'm thinking, there's nothing in this world for me, Brother George. There's nothing in this world that I want to see. And I look out, and when we go street preaching, last night was a prime example. There's people all up and down these streets. They run it back and forth, and they think that they found something good. They think that they got something that's going to occupy their time and take away their headache, take away their pain, and their suffering, and their sorrow. But guess what? There's pleasure in sin for a season.
Right.
Your heart's deceiving you. Amen. Set your affections on things above. Think about God. Think about what he would have you do. When you run around this place and you think, man, there's somebody running around here that's lost. Somebody's dead and dying. They're on their way to hell. Where's your heart? Are you thinking about where they're going to spend their eternity? Or are you thinking, oh, well, I've came to church. I've done my duty. I sat in the pew. I'm going to sit here and listen to the preaching while I'm going out to the Chinatown buffet afterwards. Who cares if them kids on that bus get on there and get home safely? Who cares if a kid gets run over in the parking lot? Where is your heart? That's the question today. Try my heart, oh, Lord. Help me with my unbelief. Where is your heart at today? Or is your heart with the church? Or is your heart with yourself? Are you trying to make yourself look good? Or is it about Jesus Christ? Have you given your whole heart to God or just parts of your life? And that same thing flashes back in my mind when Cameron, like you said this morning, Cameron ran out, throwing that heart out. That was me. Young people, listen. Are you listening to me, young people? I ran around and played church all my life until I was 18, 19 years old. My heart wasn't here. Even at 25, 26 years old, I said, well, something, I know it was right. My heart wasn't here, though, but I figured if I just got in church, maybe something would happen. Maybe the tumblers would fall into place. I was right, but something happened. The devil threw a snare in my way, and my heart wasn't with it. I didn't make up my mind in my heart that I was going to be here, that I was going to serve God, that I was going to get something from him. You've got to make up your heart, and in your heart, you got to determine that you're going to get something from God, no matter else what's going on around you, no matter else what's going on at your work. If your hope is in the preacher, when the preacher falls out, you're going to fall out, and you ain't never had nothing to begin with. Your anchor's got to be in Jesus Christ. You got to set your affections on God in heaven. You don't even know your own heart. I don't know my own heart. That's why you have to pray every day and ask God. Confess your sins to God every day and renew your mind with the water of the word. Reading the Bible, we say, oh, well, I believe the Bible cover to cover plus the cover. But do you? Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Amen.
You got to give him all your heart because you can't even hold it. You can't take care of your own heart. It's filthy. It's dirty. You got to confess to God every day and ask him to wash you in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
It's all about your heart. Give it to God.
Amen. Amen. Man, he answered, Yeah, 32 seconds left. You talk about putting it all the way to the end. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to try now. Brother Joe Godfrey, I'm going to see you come up. No, you won't do it? All right. All right. So we'll go ahead and go over to my friend, Dr. Collins. Come on ahead, brother.
Don't get mad at me.
Nobody get mad at me.
It's always the short jokes for me, isn't it?
Give you a pick, you all right? You want anything else?
No, no. Okay. Well, you wanna look through them real quick? You know, it's funny because I was telling Joe before we left his house that I said, I'm not going to change. I said, it's not like I'm going to be preaching tonight or anything, so I'm not going to worry about it. And as soon as he said that, I was like, man. I was like, it happens to me every time. As soon as I think something, I don't need to get changed. So, you know, you need to think about your appearance. And when you're coming back to church, you need to get back into your church clothes and wear a tie. I don't like getting up here when I look like this. I really don't. I know that, you know, I'm saying this candidly, but it truly hurts my heart when I get up here like this because I believe that, you know, it's a privilege to be behind this pulpit. I think it's a duty. I think it's a responsibility.
Amen.
And so, you know, I do this because George called on me, and I know the Lord's looking at being a testimony, but I really don't like being up here like this. So if you guys would turn to the book of James, chapter 4. And we're going to read James 4, verse 14. And the verse starts and goes as, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, it's funny how I got that verse right there. The last couple of weeks, as you guys know, I've been going through something, and my little brother was 23 years old, and his life was but a vapor, and it hits home because 23 years sounds like so long for some of you guys, but man, 23 years was nothing. I mean, it was nothing, but the Lord blessed us with the opportunity to know him, and Your life does start and end so very quickly, so very quickly. And in that small amount of window, you have to put so much work in. And the Lord expects us. He's done so much for us. And his one requirement is that we just be willing. See, God doesn't have so many things lined up for you and say you have to do all these checklists in order for you to even qualify. What God says, I just need you to be willing. I might only have you do one thing. God's just got a plan for you specifically, but what we don't realize is that timeline is so short. I remember there was a preacher, I can't remember who it was, but it was years and years ago, and he said that if eternity was as far away as you could go this way and as far away as you can go that way, he said your life would be about a thickness of a sheet of paper in the center of that thing, and that's the only chance that you ever have to do something for God.
Remember.
And for us, we know that we get the opportunity to lay up something in heaven, that we can do something here for the Lord that make it last eternally.
Amen.
And it burdens me and it hurts me that I didn't push and strive for my brother to do more here on earth so he could lay up that treasure. And I thank God he was saved. And one day I'm going to see him, and I rejoice in that. And that's one thing I got to hold on to. But the small amount of time that he had, we could have been working more together to lay up some treasure for the Lord. Life is but a vapor. Appear for a moment, and then it's gone. So if I could leave you guys one thought is for that one vapor that you have, that one opportunity, the one chance that you have before it's gone.
Yes,
and people say, I have more than enough time. No, you don't. My brother thought he had more than enough time. I worked with him that day. He was running through our tire shop. He was yelling. He was carrying on. He was playing around. He was 100% healthy that day. And that night he was cut down. Just like that.
Yep.
He'll have not another chance to do this. He doesn't have another opportunity to do this. So I implore you, if I could leave you with something, while your vapor is still showing before it vanished, please do something with it.
Amen.
Brother George.
Amen. I didn't play with him in that verse, man. Wow.
You talk about something where God wanted to do something there. I believe that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. But Mike, I love you, man. I'm still praying for you. I mean it.
Praise the Lord. Love your family. Amen. Well, let's go on to somebody else here. Let's see us, Brother Ryan. Why don't you come on ahead? Praise the Lord, Brother Mike. Amen.
This is a good one. Joshua, chapter 1. Pray. Father God, thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for this book and this church we get to come here. I just pray that you cover me in the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. I'm unworthy, and I just thank you for the opportunity to preach here. And I just pray that you'd bless your folks now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, but start looking at verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee?
Amen.
Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now that, personally to me, this verse holds a lot of weight for me, and no matter what you think, that's the verse that Dr. Ruckman always, that was his life verse, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. And when he signed my Bible, he put Joshua 1:9. He did it to everyone. And I'll tell you, when I first read through my Bible and came upon that verse, before I even went to PBI or heard anything about Dr. Ruckman, that verse popped out. You ever know anything about, you ever know when you read the Bible and the verse pops out at you like that? "Have not I commanded thee, be of a good courage." I'll tell you, 6 years ago when I was here, before I went to PBI, I got myself an apartment after I lived with Jamie and Justin for a while, and that's when I really got in this book, because I was by myself, and I didn't know which way was this way, which way was that way. I was coming here to this church, hearing the preaching, I was around you folks, hearing the singing, and it was like a totally, complete 180 from the life I was living. Something, man, something pure and clean, and everyone in here was a saint of God with a halo around their head. But boy, do I know different now. I thought I was the crummiest dirtbag sitting on that pew compared to you folks out here. But now, thank God, we're all equal. Amen. Dr. Ruckman preaches a message called "Hypocrites in the Church." You know, he started out, he's got his sign up here. He goes, "All right, I'm going to preach y'all a message about hypocrites in the church. And I'm glad you're all here." So I got to reading through there, man. And you know what gave me courage and strength in my life?
Amen.
It says right here in verse 8, this book of the law.
Amen.
This the whole book.
Yeah.
I started reading. Pastor Ryman gave me my first King James Bible that I actually started reading February of 2010. And I started in the book of Matthew, because I can't tell you how many times I tried to start in Genesis and I made it maybe two pages and didn't get anywhere in my Bible. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to start in Matthew this time. And all these verses that are coming out are something in my life. And I can tell it's affected George's life, too. If they're in his preaching notes, Romans chapter 12, the Lord, that thing popped out at me when I was sitting up in my house in Aberdeen, Maryland, before I moved out here.
Amen.
And the Lord said, "I beseech you, present your body. Come out here. Do something." You know why? You know why that happened? Because I was in the book of the law.
Amen.
And each time something like that happened in my life, it gave me more courage. Each time I was reading through, when I got called down to PBI, I was reading in Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord came to Abram and said, "Get thee from thy father's house and from thy father's kindred unto a land that I will show thee." And that was like the Lord saying, get away from this area. Because I'm too close to, I mean, Harford County is about an hour and a half from here. And I could easily steal away and go see my old friends and do all those things.
Right.
That was even too close.
Yeah.
An hour and a half drive was too close for me. So the Lord had to send me 1,000 miles away where I couldn't come to nobody. But it was just me and the Lord.
Amen.
And I stayed with my sister down there for a little bit, but then her and her husband, he was in the Navy, they left out. And I had my little $300 a month trailer. And I can't tell you how many nights it was just me and this book.
Yes, sir.
And I got courage.
Yes.
Amen. And I got courage. I don't want to be that way. I want to be friendly. The Bible says, you know, that a friend must show himself to be friendly and all that. But it, you got to work at it. And I'll tell you what helped me to be able to talk to people was going out on the street, not street preaching, but just going out and witnessing to people.
Amen.
Well, I got to a point in my in PBI where we could walk up, and I would just, I don't recommend it so much, but it's called Bible Roulette. And you just walk up, and wherever you land in your Bible, you witness to somebody out of the first verse you see.
Ouch.
That'll help you.
Ouch.
Yeah, it'll, yeah, ouch, man. So you get to like, I'll cut you down, I'll smite you, and what do you say? And then you find out that they're you know, brothers in the hospital and they just lost their jobs. Like, man, I'm an idiot. So, but I'm telling you what, you get courage from this book. And what gave me, I thank God, somebody said something about friends. One of the first people I met down there, what Brother Hauser, he's in Germany right now as a missionary. He took me out on the street, walking around, just passing out tracts. First time I ever street preached, just reading off a tract, fumbling around. And I remember Mark McGahee saying that when he was street preaching, he didn't know what to say, and he just stepped off that curb and just started saying, I'm saved. And so I copied him. I said, you know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. How about you?
Amen.
And doing those things gave me courage. It gives me a, it gave me a hide till I can withstand some things.
Amen.
And the longer you're in this book, I'm telling you what, forget all the courage and the outward of witnessing. I mean, it gives you a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're with God,
Amen.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
If you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, when you have that fellowship with Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Creator, there's, you can't beat that.
Amen.
I mean, these Muslims think that when they blow themselves up and kill people, they're going to have 40 verse. Man, I've got something way better than what they could ever.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.
See what this is. All right. I'll maybe do that there. So let's see here. I can pick on that. Brother Eric Tweed. They called your name out, so you're up. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord, man. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That wasn't about you, by the way, just so you know. I promise.
All right, Philippians 2:3. Man, I wish I was as happy to be up here as everyone else. It'd be nice right now. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the service this morning, Lord. I thank you for what we've heard tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for showing up already. And Lord, I pray that you help me not to get in the way of that, Lord. I pray that you just use this verse, Lord, and give me the words to speak. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Where do I go from there? Well, I mean, we got a problem all the time about people cutting each other down. Brian was just talking about and the Bible cutting people down on the street and all that, how it hurts them and all that. But, man, where do I go from here? Let nothing be done through stress. Well,
amen,
treat each other good. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I appreciate enough guts to come up here, so praise the Lord for that right there. Amen. And there you go. Brother Ben, I want to see you, man. Come on ahead. No, okay, all right. Brother Matthew, come on ahead, brother. I was looking at you the whole time in that suit, and I said, I want to hear him. Amen, praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Short and sweet. Amen, brother. Pick one and let it rip.
All right. Wow. I blame you for this. Usually I don't get nervous talking in front of people, so I don't know why I'm a little bit nervous tonight. So, I I guess we'll start. a couple months ago, we were going through our family was going through, I say our family, more of my wife and I were going through some really hard times, and that's how we ended up here. And I'd say about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was 2 weeks ago or so, I asked Joe to hold me accountable for something. And I think that's why I'm standing up here today. I think that, because I would have never guessed, it's funny. I said, I talked to one of the missionaries in our old church, and we talked about some things. And he said, well, he reached out to me a few weeks ago and asked me how things are going. And he's over in Guatemala serving the Lord now, or down in Guatemala serving the Lord now, and doesn't know actually some of the situation that's going on. And my response to him was just, it's interesting because I learned that if you ask something from God, that you should be willing and ready to listen.
Amen.
Because what he has for you in store for you is not what you would ever imagine. So today's verse for me was Proverbs 21:2. There was a challenge that was given to me, and I usually don't like mention this too much, but somebody, Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. And I had, did that 30-day challenge for, read the book, since there's 30 or 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, read a chapter a day. And it was, it just happened that one of the times that I was laying in the hospital, helpless, couldn't do anything, I came across chapter 21. And this verse stood out to me, that every way of the man's heart is in his own eyes, but God looks at the heart, looks at the inside. So if you're putting your heart into what God wants, and if you're seeking what God wants for you, he'll provide for you, and he'll show you the way, and he'll provide for you in ways that you wouldn't imagine, or that you wouldn't actually realize. You'd think that I'm going to go this way, and God says, no, we're going to go this way.
Yeah.
And a good example of that is I would have never imagined myself as being considered a street preacher. And I told Joe, I'll be a silent partner. And I talked to some people last night, and I just thought it was interesting. And coming home, and I don't even know what time it was, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm talking to my wife about something, and it was interesting to see, this verse came back. It's like, well, God knows the heart, and God knows what your intentions are, and he looks at those. So, it doesn't matter what your outward appearance looks like per se, but, as long as you're living for God and you're doing what's right for God, he'll provide in ways, as long as you're willing to Amen. Trust him and accept that, in ways that you would never imagine.
Amen.
So Amen. I know my 5 minutes is probably up, but...
You got 30 seconds.
All right, good. My, like I said, I would, when trials and tribulations come up, because they will, my advice is to follow what God says and what he has for you, because it will far exceed what your expectations for yourself would be.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Well, a few more tonight. And let's see, Josh Ryman, let's go.
Oh, you get your turn. Don't blow it.
Well, I'm a lineman. You know I'm going to do that.
All right, you're limited to 2 minutes.
Revelation 21, 1 and 2.
Oh, amen. That's a good one.
Says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city and New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, preparing as a bride adorned for her husband. Well, there's a lot of weddings right now. oh boy, this is hard. Well, I will say, I mean, I can't wait to be there. I saw a holy city in Jerusalem. Yeah, you sit here and you think about this. I saw a holy city, and just the word holy city stands out to me. I can't imagine what that would be like. Amen. You know, we sit here and we look at the news and everything about like the schools and the transgenders and everything else, and I'm like, wow, we're not going to have to deal with this anymore.
Amen.
We're not going to have to deal with this junk in these cities and the billboards and everything's popping in front of us. We won't have to worry about looking at these things because this is a holy city. And a holy city, man, we won't even have to worry about looking at other people. We won't even worry about the stores and all that mess that we have to sit there and guard ourselves from and sit here and worry about what our kids are going to see and what our kids are not going to see. We're not going to have to worry about what our kids hear, because you go in these stores, all you hear is music and filth going through your minds, and then you got the liquor stores and people just doing whatever they want and not caring about what other people think. You know, the Muslims, they sit here and they push their religion. Why don't we push ours?
Oh yeah.
You know, they push about wearing their guarded things and praying in their schools, but what are we doing? We're not doing anything to push for our prayers in schools or carrying our Bibles. I mean, that just stuck out to me. I mean, wow. I never thought about it like that. That there's going to be a holy city. And then on top of that, we're going to be holy too. We're not going to have this filth and this flesh and these sins and the thoughts that run through our heads and all the past that we've done that was going to beat us up over. And man, that really just stuck out to me. And I just want to thank the Lord for just showing me that. Honestly, that's all I got.
Amen, Preacher Ryman. Amen, Preacher Ryman. Amen. Let's see who else we can pick on here. Brother Evans, will you come on? No, Brother Evans is out. All right. I don't blame you now. Amen. Let's see here. Alex, give us something. Come on, Brother Alex. Slow roll. Come on, baby. There it is. That's a slow roll right there. They'll give it to you. Don't worry about it.
All right. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. All right. Lord God, please, I pray you watch over and protect me, O Lord. Lord, please let me not do any harm to anyone here, O Lord. God, amen. Father, please, watch over my mouth, O Lord. Let your words be spoken. Keep me away. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
So first of all, no matter what background you have or where you've been or what sin you have in your life, the Bible says, all the temptations is common to man. The same sins that could bring somebody to murder, the same things that can bring somebody to rape someone, the same sins that can go on further and further, the original temptations are all common to man. I've been thinking about messages for the youth and messages for other people. Oh, just trying to help people. But when a preacher says, stay away from TV, stay away from it. Be careful. Guard yourself from these things. In Proverbs, there's a story of the king seeing spying a boy among the youth wandering by a corner, knowing not. The guy was foolish. He was going by a corner of a woman that came out to him with flattering words. She was nice. She was kind. She was boastful. But her ways lead to hell. Her ways lead to destruction. All these sins and things are common to man. The same temptations that you go through, same basic lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, those three things we all have in common. We all fight those things. No matter who you are, what walk of life, we all have lust of the eyes. We all have pride of life, and he has lust of the flesh. And a lot of these times, God will provide you a way out. And a lot of times, you'll even start younger, start more simpler. It's like, stay away. When a preacher or brother George tells the teenagers, hey, don't be hanging around with the opposite sex. Don't be hanging around with boys and girls. Boys and girls shouldn't be hanging out too much. Why? Because it leads to temptation, leads to further. It goes further and further and further to the point where you have so much scars and sin, so much sorrows in your mind from sin, where you can't have a simple thought, you can't have clean thoughts anymore. You have to fight the thoughts day in and day out, where it's such a struggle. And you can't wait to get to heaven just so you can have those thoughts out of your mind at one time when... At one point, someone just said, stay away from our corner. Amen. Stay away from it. Amen. And now, let me read this verse again. And there hath no temptation taken you, but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape it, and that ye may be able to bear it. Now, temptations are, again, these things are common to men. Everybody suffers these temptations. But God says in his word and promises you that he will give you a way out, which means you do not have to have these scars and things going through your life. You do not have to. God has promised you, according to his word, he will give you a way out so you may be able to bear it. Yes, are we going to have temptations in our life? Are we always going to have temptations? Yes. We will always have temptations, but God promises you a way out. Start looking for him. Sometimes we look for our sin. We look. As the prodigal son, he said he went to the country. He saw the country. He went towards it. Sometimes you just got to look away. Look for the way out. Amen. Look for the older brother ended up staying with his father. He ended up keeping everything. He didn't have those scars. He didn't have those temptations. He didn't end up bound to the country which he went to. So again, you can always come to Christ. God has promised you a way out. Amen. For one time, just take the way out so you can bear it and not have to have the scars.
Amen. Amen. You slow roll. Get him cranked up. He's ready to go. Amen. Amen. Let's see what we can have here. There's only a few more we can have left. Brother Squig, why don't you come on ahead? Amen. Amen. A few more. All right, Brother John? A few more?
I had a nursing home today. It seemed like every time I go out there, there's more and more people there that I know. And they're not there for the same reason I'm there. There's like five people there maybe six, folks that I associated with in my younger days. And it's scary. You know, one time I asked my dad about that, and he said, I don't go to nursing homes because I'm afraid they'll keep me. I'm starting to feel the same way. Amen. Philippians 4:19. Hallelujah. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs.
Amen.
All your needs.
Amen.
All your needs.
Yes, sir.
Not all your wants.
You're right. Yep.
Not all your wants.
Amen.
To his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, it looks like some stipulations here. Look like to me that if you want God to supply your needs, then you need to be in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So many times we get saved and just go about our business as if nothing had ever happened. And the scary part about that whole thing is maybe nothing did ever happen. Maybe nothing ever did happen. And then you go down the road and you wonder why God's not answering your prayers, why God's not doing this for you, not helping you with this. And a lot of times, the reason for that is because you don't know him. You're not fellowshipping with him. You can't fellowship with him.
Amen.
Because of the way you're living.
Yes, sir.
He said he'll supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know been times in my life when I wondered where God was at. And you just read your Bible. And little things like George said earlier just pop out at you. You'll say, well, man, maybe that's why I'm having so much trouble right there. Maybe I'm not serving God the way he'd have me serving.
Amen, brother.
Maybe I'm not doing anything. I get mad, you know, I'm human just like the rest of y'all. And sometimes I get upset because nobody comes to the nursing home with me.
Amen.
But you know what? That nursing home is my ministry, not yours.
Oh, look at that. Amen.
And I mean, I see signs of that throughout the whole church. People get upset because people are not doing what they want them to do. Well, who are you?
Go ahead, preacher. Now you're talking.
Who are you?
Amen.
We all have ministries. And some of our ministries are not the same as other people's ministries.
Amen.
We need to serve God.
Amen.
Through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you want his riches. God's good all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And I'm gonna give you the famous last words of Keith. Don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit.
Amen.
Amen.
That was good right there. That's a good memory. Most of my good memories are in church.
Amen.
Now I'll tell you, time is running out, and I would love to hear Brother Jim preach, and Brother Aramis preach, and Brother Ken preach, and Brother Joe preach. So you fellas, get ready the next time, because if I'm able to do this right here, y'all are going first. So don't take it, you know, any kind of personal way right there. I love y'all. And praise the Lord. But I want to hear two more, if that's all right. I want to pick Bryce Timmons.
Amen.
So come on ahead, brother. Amen. We're trying to keep the family. I want to hear Brother Joe preach. But I think I'll do it the service if I don't do this last one.
Amen.
All right, you're done. Thank you.
All right, Matthew 25:21.
Well,
His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Amen.
I see the bottom, and a couple of things have actually stuck out to me just by hearing preaching on the radio and stuff like that. I heard like a couple words, and it kind of stuck out to me. And the bottom says, I will make thee rulers over many things. And it popped in my head, those couple words that a preacher said. And he said, what are you rich in? He said, there's a lot of people that are rich in land. There's a lot of people that are rich in crops or whatever. What's all your purpose? A lot of people look at the cup, and they're saying, what are you filled with? A lot of people have a lot of money. They ain't got nothing to do it with. They got a bunch of land, but they don't have nothing worth bragging on. The way I want to see it, if I can get my cup filled as much as the Lord as I possibly can, I can actually have something that I can actually be joyful about. Amen. Where it says on there, that good mouth, faithful servant, the joy of the Lord, into the joy of the Lord. It just depends on whatever you want. He'll make you rulers over things, but if I could be one thing, I just wanted to be filled with him. And if my cup could be as much as him, I'd be joyful as possible.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was good right there. I'll get it done. Yep. All right, so one more. Brother Mark, come on ahead.
David Neath. I was just playing around. I knew his dad was going to say no. Bring your wife up here, too. I knew he was going to say no. See what I bring your wife up here, too. For the first time ever in Faith Baptist Church,
Amen.
The Neifer family. Yeah. See, I just held them here the whole time because I wanted you to hear everybody preach. So I know you wanted to hear him. But go ahead and take a few minutes to introduce yourself, your wife, and things of this nature. I had the introduction for you, but there it is, the end.
George said he wanted you to hear everybody preach because he figured after you guys heard me talk, y'all would walk out. But yesterday, me and Nikki here said, I do. We were kind of worried that the day was going to be, the weatherman was telling us it was going to be a rainy, stinky day, but we've been praying for a week or two, and we prayed for about 2 weeks, and it was the most beautiful day we could have asked for. The sun was shining. It wasn't crazy windy, blowing everything everywhere. It was just a picture-perfect day. I had a picture-perfect bride. I did pretty good. Me and George were laughing. We were joking around up front there, and as all the groomsmen came walking down, we were happy. And the moment I saw her walk around the corner, I just lost it. I was just woo, man. I was just bawling, man. But now she's here. We got down to today. Everything's running smoothly so far. We've got a we forgot a couple things up in Connecticut, but that's small stuff that can be dealt with at a later time. I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad I made it tonight. I got to hear Eric Tweed and Josh Ryman preach on the same night. That is like this weekend has been insane. My dad was wearing a suit yesterday. It's a funny story. The lady's trying to take pictures of all the groomsmen. My dad shows up, and I go, Zach, is dad wearing a suit? And he goes, yeah. And she's in the middle of trying to take pictures of all of us, and we all sprint up the hill to go see my dad wearing a suit. Never before have I seen this happen. But God's good. I just think at a young age, I was doing dumb stuff. To be standing there at an altar yesterday watching somebody that the Lord brought into my life Amen. Walk down in a white dress to say I do Amen. Because she loves me is just, there's only one person who could have orchestrated that, and that's God. So I just, I'm thankful for everything that went on yesterday.
Go ahead.
I mean, besides him, the move to Delaware totally was already made worth it with Eric Tweed coming up here. So that was number two besides marrying him. But no, it was a beautiful day. I checked hourly every day this past week for no rain, and thankfully it didn't rain. And I just thank God for that because my ceremony was outside, and that's the whole reason I picked the venue. So But it was wonderful, and seeing him cry at the end of the altar, like, almost made me, like, gush. And everyone, like, on the sidelines was like, your makeup. So I had to try really hard not to cry. But God willing, I didn't. But it was wonderful, and I'm married to a wonderful man. And I'm really happy to finally be at Faith Baptist. And I'm here permanently now, so bear with me. But just thank you so much for all your prayers and your thoughts. And I appreciate everyone who took the trip up there for our wedding and shared our special day with us. We really appreciate it. I know it's a really long drive, but it means a lot to me. So that's all. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Good luck. There it is. I got the picture of Brother Mark in his suit. There it is.
Got it right there. Hey, all right, go ahead and grab your Bible. Turn to Job chapter 1. And it says 21, but we'll start in verse 20. The Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You see, Job had it rough. Out of anybody I can read an account of in the Bible, the one person who sticks out as having it rough is Job. He lost all of his children. He lost his house. Job lost everything. He lost his health. And in all of this, Job sinned not. You see, it's not our job to accuse God of what might go wrong in our lives. It's not our job to point the finger at him and say, you've done me wrong. After all, I don't know about you, but God gave me eternal life. Whatever he does from here on out is up to him. I cannot complain. I might be upset some days, and I might get in the flesh and be a little angry about my life. But the fact of the matter is, in the end, God still saved me. In the end, I still have a beautiful wife sitting over there. I still have everything he's given me. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord can take everything from me. He could take my health. I could be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life starting tomorrow. And the fact of the matter is, God is still God. He still reigns on the throne. He's still above me, and he still saved my soul. I was a young boy, 6 years old, and realized that I deserved hell. I deserved hell. 6 years old, I was a lying little stinker. I can tell you that. And through my teenage years, when I did dumb stuff, and you guys know me, I did a lot of dumb stuff. Nothing changed. God is still my father. I'm still a child of the king. At the end of it all, I'm still going to heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, the fact of the matter is, Job had all the reasons that man can think of to turn his back on God. Job had every reason. If Job came to me and said, David, I don't want to live for God anymore. I feel like I've been done wrong. There's nothing I can say to him to go, well, I think you're wrong and you should stay. There's nothing I could say. There's nothing I could say. His kids died. Every last one of them died in one fell swoop, man. He lost everything he had. His wife said, curse God and die. But he didn't do it. But he didn't do it. And then we come in here, we might stub our toe in a church pew, and we walk out mad, and you'll never see somebody again. Hey, we might be mad because something didn't go the way we planned it, and you'll never see us again. Hey, like the verse that Brother Mike had said, whereas your life is like a vapor, it appears for a little while and vanisheth away. You going to spend your entire life mad at God? You going to spend everything you've done mad at God? Hey, if there's one person who had a reason in his own mind and heart to be mad at God, it was Job. Wow. And if anybody had it, it was Job. Hey, I forgot who had the verse, and it was Brother Eric. He said, the heart is desperately wicked. But there's a verse in 1 John that says, God is greater than our hearts. When my heart condemned me because of the sin in my life, when my heart said, go after that wickedness, when my heart said, don't go after the things of the Lord, when I lost blessings because of the way I lived and the way I acted, God is still God. The Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, I can do things on my own. Maybe some God will put some temptation in my life, but there's always a way out. Do you understand what I'm saying? If anybody had a reason, it was Job. Who am I to complain? Who am I to complain when people in this very church have had it much worse than I have? people in this, people sitting here under the sound of my voice have had a rougher life than me. Who am I to say, it's not good enough for me and walk out? Who am I to do that? Who am I to do that? Every time you sit there and you think, oh, God's done me dirty, think about Job. Every time you sit there and say, God can't bless me, think about Job. Every time you say, why would he take that from me, think about Job. At the end of the story, Job got more than he ever had when it started. Job had more at the end than he did at the beginning. God put him through a trial. We all know it was a trial, and it was a lot. But at the end of it all, God blessed him. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Guys got some help tonight through all these preaching. I don't know where you're at, what you needed, but God surely does. And sometimes I believe this right here is in something like this. I've seen it even in my own life, Brother Kim, that God, listen, I didn't have any agenda picking anybody in here, just so you know that. But I will tell you this right now is that sometimes God allows the people to get up here because they need this more than you need it. So I don't know where you are at tonight. And if you need to get some help from God, get alone with him, get serious with him. I want to encourage you to do that. And I wanted to hear a lot more people. I was going to hear the younger. I don't know if you would have came or not, but you was on it. The younger, I like saying that, the younger. I don't know where Brother Younger was. I don't know where Brother Dave. I was going to ask a lot more of you guys come, so don't think I was singling anybody out. I wanted Brother Peyton and both Brother Peytons. I was wanting to get both of you guys in there and Brother Tuck. So I want you to know, and if I'm able to do this again, get ready, guys. And if I missed you, I didn't mean it. Please believe me. It was a sincere heart. But I want you to know that these messages right here that God put out there, I pray that you got some help from it. So praise the Lord. All hearts clear tonight? Anything? All hearts clear? Well, praise the Lord. Brother Ken, would you pray for us to dismiss us?